The Special Sale, read by Dervla Kerwin.
The January sale started earlier every year. Most of the big stores opened the very day after Christmas. A lot of people protested and said it was ruining family life, but secretly, they were often relieved. Family life could often be overrated. Patrick Brennan, owner chef in Quentin, said they should cash in on it, serving a comforting lunch to take the weight off the weary shoppers' feet. "And what about the weary staff's feet?" Brenda asked. But she knew that he was right. People would love it. It would take the effort out of shopping if people knew that they could hand their parcels into Quentin's big roomy cloakroom and sit down to a lunch where cold turkey would make no appearance. "We won't force anyone to work unless they want to. They wouldn't need the full team." Patrick's brother, Blouse, and his wife, Mary, would help. They put a discreet little notice on each table in the restaurant advertising a special sale lunch with a limited but interesting menu on December the 26th. Early booking essential. The menu was not strictly speaking limited, since they planned to serve Patrick's legendary steak and kidney pies, rack of lamb and a fiery bouillabaisse. Yvonne booked a table for four as soon as she heard about it. It was the ideal choice for Frank. He could take his three children to lunch there as a treat, something totally different on this, the first Christmas that he would spend away from his home. His difficult wife, Anna, who had laid down so many ground rules and made things so awkward, could not object to this. It was quite extraordinary, Yvonne thought, that Anna, who had left Frank for another man, was still calling the shots. She still lived in the family home, and she had the children for Christmas. Frank was altogether too easygoing. He said that there was no point in upsetting little Daisy, Rose and Ivy still further. The whole thing wasn't their fault. He seemed to imply that it was nobody's fault. Anna had suddenly fallen in love with this other man, Harry, and that there was nothing anyone could do about it. Everyone at the office was furious with him. Some even went so far as to say that if he were as passive as this, then perhaps Anna had a case for leaving him. But Yvonne knew better. Frank was a loving husband and father who put in long hours in computer sales so that his family could have a holiday abroad, a new carpet, add decking in the garden. Yvonne knew how he worried about these expenses. She saw him sigh and frown when he thought that no one was looking. Yvonne was always looking at Frank, but he never saw. Why should he see her, the small, dumpy assistant in the sales department? Yvonne lived with her handicapped mother. Yvonne, who had no style or love of her own, a million miles from the tall blonde Anna, who only had to smile and everyone did what she said. She told her mother about it. "And will you go too?" her mother asked eagerly. Sometimes Yvonne despaired. She would love to have had a great lunch on the day after Christmas in a smart, buzzy restaurant with Frank and his three children. Loved it more than anything, but it would have been entirely inappropriate and intrusive. The only part she could play was to call his attention to the lunch and make the reservation for him. "Oh, no, Mother," Yvonne said. That wouldn't do at all." "You must go out yourself over Christmas, Yvonne," she said. "I'm fine here on my own with my thoughts and my television." "I know, Mother, but there's really not all that many places I want to go." Yvonne looked into the flames and thought about being 36, the same age as Anna. Even Mother, who was in a wheelchair, had once had a life and a love and a child. Wasn't it odd the way the world turned out for people? Frank reported that Anna had been highly approving of the lunch in Quentin's idea. She had even praised him for thinking of it.
"I'm afraid I didn't say it was your idea," he apologised.
She wanted to lean over and stroke the side of his face, but she restrained herself. He would have been horrified and embarrassed, and eventually the nice, easy friendship they had would have disappeared. Christmas Day was cold and windy in the city centre. Brenda Brennan cooked a turkey for her husband Patrick and his brother Blouse and Blouse's wife Mary,
They ate in the kitchens of Quentin's and played country and western music all day long.
Well, I hope they all think it's worth opening tomorrow, Patrick said.
They reassured him.
Sure isn't the place going to be full? We don't get that every Tuesday, Brenda said, ever practical.
Blouse said he loved being a waiter for the day, all dressed up and people thinking he was the real thing.
You are the real thing, they all said to Blouse at the same time.
They talked about the bookings they had taken. Blouse had taken a booking from a woman in a wheelchair who had never been there before. She had been very anxious for a table where she and her companion could be seen by everyone. Brenda had booked a table for a young man who was going to propose to his girlfriend and wondered could they have champagne on ice ready. And if it were not needed, he would let them know. They all agreed that there was no other job quite as interesting as watching the human race at feeding time. Christmas Day was cold and windy outside the big house where Anna and Frank's three little girls opened their presents. Harry stood watching.
It's a bit rough on Frank that he's not here to see it, he murmured to Anna. Her blue eyes were very hard.
We have to start as we mean to go on, she said. And he does get them all day tomorrow. Frank didn't notice the weather as he sat in his sister's home, playing with her children instead of his own. Trying all the while to avoid everyone's pity for him and their rage at Anna. Yvonne and her mother sat together as they had for many a year. Yvonne's mother was resplendent in the fine wool stole with a soft lilac colour which had been Yvonne's gift. Yvonne was sitting speechless, looking at the invitation for two to lunch at Quentin's the following day, which had been her mother's gift to her. There was no way she could return or refuse to accept a present like this. She'd have to go through with it. Frank called for the girls at 10:30. Anna looked beautiful, as she always did. Harry looked a bit embarrassed, not sure how to play it. The girls were excited. They dragged him to see what Santa Claus had brought. All of the gifts, exactly what they had been hoping for. And Mummy had given them all a new velvet dress.
What time would you like me to deliver everyone home? He asked mildly.
Anna gave a tinkling laugh. Frank, honestly, you don't have to ask. You are their father. We aren't the kind of people who have court rulings. Keep them all day until they're tired. Right, girls?
Right, they said, pleased that there was no row.
Daisy was nearly 9 and almost grown up, so when the others weren't listening, she whispered some of her theories about Santa Claus to her father. Frank listened thoughtfully and said it was hard to know all right and we should all keep an open mind on things.
Do you mind about Harry being there, Dad? She said.
No, darling, not if it makes your mother happy. He tried to read her face but wasn't sure if he'd given the right answer or not. The shops were crowded. It was hard for 6, 7 and 8-year-olds to make decisions. The little legs were very tired when they got to Quentin's. The very first guests.
You're welcome, the waiter said. Can I take your parcels for you, ladies?
Daisy, Rose and Ivy giggled at being called ladies.
Yeah, well, how will you know which ones are ours? Ivy asked.
Well, you give me your names and I'll write them down, he said.
What's your name? Daisy asked.
Blouse Brennan, the man said.
Why?
Ivy asked.
Well, when I was a young fellow, I called my shirt my blouse and no one ever forgot it.
Well, a shirt is a sort of blouse, said Daisy.
That's what I always thought,
Blouse said, pleased. Frank looked at his eldest daughter with pride. The restaurant filled up, mainly families, the odd twosomes. Even though he felt a deep sense of loneliness not to be part of a proper family, Frank thought from time to time he got envious glances with his three beautiful daughters, alert and smiling and interested in everyone.
Look at that couple kissing, Rose said as a bottle of champagne was opened at a nearby table.
Does that woman have any legs? Daisy said in her bell-like voice. The woman in the wheelchair turned round with a smile.
I do, dear, but they're not any use to me, so the waiter wheeled me up on the ramp. He was very helpful.
I saw you come in. That was Blouse that wheeled you in.
Blouse, is it?
Oh, a very nice young man, the old lady nodded. Finally, her companion looked up from staring at the floor. It was Yvonne from work. Frank was amazed and pleased. So, you decided to come yourself too, he said happily. Isn't it great? I must introduce you to my daughters. He brought them over to Yvonne's table where they all stood in everyone's way until Blouse Brennan suggested that he merge the two parties to save on space. Yvonne's face was scarlet. I can't tell you how sorry I am, Frank. This was all my mother's idea, she hissed at him. But I can't tell you how delighted I am, he began. They could hear the children talking to Yvonne's mother, asking her how her legs had decayed, and did she bother wearing stockings, and what would happen if the restaurant went on fire? Well, Blouse would push me down the ramp, Yvonne's mother said.
Indeed I would, madam, he said as he tied Ivy's table napkin around her neck, the way the French do.
Oh, what lovely dresses you have. The old woman felt the coloured velvet frocks. Yeah, they're from our mother. She doesn't live with Dad anymore, you see, so that's why she's not here. Daisy seemed to have a mission to explain today. So you must remember it all to tell her. She'll want to know what you did because she loves you so much like your father does. He must love you a lot to think of taking you to a very high-class restaurant like this.
Is it high-class?
Rose was interested. The highest there is. Yvonne's mother was firm on this.
It's a pity they're both not here, Daisy sighed.
Oh, I don't know. You can have better times separately.
Like Yvonne's father and I. We loved her to bits. We changed in loving each other and she was always happy with both of us. Weren't you, Yvonne?
Yes, I was indeed, Yvonne said, astounded.
So her dad loved someone else eventually, and I loved someone else. But it didn't take away one bit from loving Yvonne.
Isn't that right? She barked at her daughter.
Oh, absolutely right, Mother. Like as if your heart got bigger or something. And there was more love in it, Yvonne said wild-eyed at the whole thing.
Frank patted her knee and stroked her hand.
Yvonne, I wish you knew how much this means, he began.
But Yvonne was listening to what her mother might be up to now. It was reasonably harmless. She was asking her new best friend, Blouse Brennan, for some bread that they could throw to the ducks on St. Stephen's Green.
Can we come too? Rose asked.
Please,
Frank begged.
Please.
And it was all arranged. There would be time later, much later, when she would tell him that her mother and father had never separated. And he had died 15 years ago, and her mother had never looked at another man. This was not the time to do it. The special sale lunch was nearly over. The rain had stopped. And it was time to go and feed the ducks.